Dighton.
And I'm Mike Grant.
And you're listening to the GD Podcast, an informal but insightful conversation about sports, pop culture, beer, and the like. Follow us on Twitter at the GD Podcast or choose an email at thegdpodcast@gmail.com. Today, Mike and I tackle Major League Baseball, talk a little bit about the Biogenesis scandal. We'll look at NFL training camps, talk a little college football, hit the pop culture corner, and then Mike will bring us home with Mike's Beer Blast. Mike, how you doing today?
Doing good, man. It's always good to be here.
It is. Yeah, it is. It's funny. You think, like, you know, we're heading into, actually, it's first day of August, and you think there's not as much sports stuff to talk about, but it seems like it's been a relatively busy July. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Well, not only that, we're less than a month away from college football.
Exactly, yeah.
It's almost here.
It's crazy.
It goes so quick, man. It's unbelievable how quick it all goes.
Yeah, I love it. You figure, you know, whenever football season ends, I always get kind of depressed, but then, you know, I guess with, like, you know, you got some hockey and then baseball starts up, and before you know it, it just kind of takes your attention away from no football, and then there it is.
Baseball's always got, you know, scandal and some things to talk about.
It seems like it, yeah. it definitely seems like it.
And then you got a good group of young superstars, too. So yes. Everyone's obsessed. You know, RG3 is just in another stratosphere, so there's always going to be news about him.
Exactly, yeah. So it's good. Yeah, it's definitely good. And it's funny to think, the stuff that comes out of training camp, you think a lot of times you just kind of focus on the season starting.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's always some good stuff. So yeah, we every month we check in with Major League Baseball and our local teams, the Nationals. They're really they're spiraling out of control. It seems like
struggling. Do you? They fired their swing coach, and everyone was kind of saying that was kind of a knee jerk reaction to try to do something, to get the players in line, but it seems like that's really not doing anything.
Yeah, I've never wanted to give a hitting coach too much credit or too much blame. I mean, these guys have been, you know, hitting how they hit since they were in T-ball.
Yep, and that's exactly what they said. It's like, seriously, you're going to fire the hitting coach? It's not really going to make a difference.
Not at all, yeah. Because unless, you know, because these guys kind of are conditioned to swing how they swing, and unless a lot of times, you know, sometimes you'll hear a guy say he went to hitting coach just to see if they could work on some mechanics. But for the most part, these guys are doing what they do up there.
Yeah, what did you? There was a lot of people out there in the camp of they should have just fired Davey Johnson if they really wanted to make a uproar. What do you think about that?
I think that could make more of a difference.
Yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't matter who the manager is, but I think if you're going to look to change something, philosophy, a new voice in the room, it's got to be the manager. The hitting coach is just such an insignificant.
Yeah, the only thing it really seemed like it did is it really pissed off Davey, because I guess he was a really close friend of his.
Yeah.
And he was, like, visibly distraught when it happened.
Yes.
That's really the only outcome they got from it.
I know. I think he even offered himself up. He said, you know, fire me if you need to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't think that. And obviously, like you said, it's not making much of a difference because they're still not playing much better. And they got pummeled yesterday by the Tigers yesterday afternoon.
Yeah.
They're so far out of the division, or behind Atlanta, 11 games back, and I think they're like 7.5 games out of the wild card, too, so it's not even like they have that to fall back on.
That's not good, man.
And it takes me back to last year when they shut down Strasburg.
Yeah.
And it's almost like they thought, well, we'll be back.
Yeah.
Do you think that was almost like an arrogant type of way of thinking?
Yeah, and that's why a lot of people slammed them, too, is like when you're that hot and you have the talent, it doesn't come along that often, you know? Look at Philly, they were really hot for those couple years,
sure,
and then
yeah.
all of a sudden they're a disaster. You know, you get old quick.
Exactly.
So you got to strike while the iron's hot. And, you know, that there was a lot of people out there that were pissed off at them.
Yeah.
That they just didn't give it a 100%. So I don't think they were arrogant. I think, you know, I think the management was trying to be safe. And, you know, a lot of the players weren't coming out and saying we're going to be the best team in baseball. The media did it, you know.
Yeah, they picked
them.
They
really hyped them.
They picked them.
You know, and I feel like you're almost doomed once that happens.
Yeah, when you're too much of a favorite,
Yeah. So I feel like most of their interviews, they spent time saying, hey, you know, we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. You know, we had a good year last year, but, you know, it's another season, it's not that easy.
It's true, yeah. Baseball's a funny game, and you look at, look at the Pirates, one of the best teams in baseball now. You just never know.
Exactly. So
it's also interesting that, you know, they made that effort to shut down Strasburg, and now he's not pitching that great this year.
No. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, he's had some pretty good games, too, but overall, you know, not as good as last year. And Yeah, I just, the hitting's the big problem with them. It's the biggest.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, you got to be able to, you got to be able to win those 2-3 run games sometimes. I feel like they can't do that.
That's killing them, yeah. And they
feel it's all or nothing for them.
Exactly, yep.
Yeah. So, I really like watching the Orioles, so.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, but the Nationals, hopefully they get in the playoffs. I like both teams, but Orioles I've always known growing up, you know, the Nationals obviously are new.
Well, yeah, that's
so
true.
So, yeah, I think I have a bigger place in my heart for the Orioles, even though I'm not really a huge baseball fan.
Yeah, and they're playing well, the Orioles. They're, you know, they've been kind of up and down recently, I think, but they've built up enough wins that they're still right in the thick of things.
Yeah, I think they'll be in the thick of things to the end. Like I was saying earlier, you know, most of the sports talk up in Baltimore just, you know, keeps on pounding the fact that, you know, their record's not too great against these subpar teams, mm-hmm. but then they're actually, you know, they're hanging in there with the Bostons and the New York Yankees.
Sure,
and the good
yeah.
teams. They're actually you know, winning if or splitting kind of the series, they're not losing a lot. So it's frustrating to watch a team that you know have talent, and then when they play the teams they're supposed to beat, can't beat them. It's just very frustrating. So it seems like the city's pretty frustrated with them right now, but they know they're good, and I think they'll hang in there till the end and have a shot.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, because when I watch them play, it's like every guy that comes up is like, but. All-star, potential all-star. They've built such a good lineup.
Yeah, and Davis has supposedly had a little slump here, too. A lot of people are saying, it's getting to that point where it looks like he's just trying to smash every ball.
Yeah.
You know, it just needs to take a step back, take a deep breath, and just concentrate on connecting.
I can't help but wonder if part of that was from being in the home run derby.
Yeah, that's what everybody said.
People think that
everyone thinks that hurts.
Yeah, because guys sometimes they'll decline an invitation because they don't want to mess up their swing.
Absolutely.
You spend all night, you know, swinging for the fences, and it's tough to kind of bring yourself back once you're in real gameplay again.
Yeah, but the O's is another team. They got a lot of solid players, man. So it's it'll be good. It'll be fun to, you know, I don't mind watching. Over the last couple of years, getting into playoff baseball, especially living in Baltimore and be able to go to a bar and watch them in the playoffs is pretty cool. So hopefully they can pull it out and get a wild card spot.
Yeah, because they're only half a game out of the wild card spot now, and they're 5.5 games behind Boston for first place.
Which is still
division.
Doable.
So yeah, they're still in striking distance. So yeah, I think they'll. They'll be good. I think for them, it's almost like the opposite with the Nats that are hitting's killing. The O's just got to get their pitching in order, and I think that's...
Yeah, they just got to be able to depend on it.
They're going to score runs. There's no concern there. It's about their pitching performance. And then my Yankees are hanging in. They got Jeter back last weekend, which was huge.
Mm-hmm.
And they made a trade for Alfonso Soriano with the Cubs. So that was, you know, bringing him back paid off well because he had a big game last Sunday. And then Granders might be back actually this weekend. So they're kind of starting to kind of look like themselves again.
Yeah.
Might be just in time because they didn't make any big splashes at the deadline.
No.
But like they were saying, when you get guys like, you know, Jeter and Granderson back, it's almost like you made a big trade because you haven't had them all year.
Absolutely.
So I'm hoping that, you know, they're 3 games out of the wild card, which is pretty good considering how many guys they've had hurt.
Yeah.
Been hurt all year. And then the division, you're 8 games out. So I'm kind of losing hope with that.
But yeah.
Thankfully, with the 2 wild card spots, they can still think about the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, there's some potential there for 3 teams from that division to
go.
Yes,
yeah.
You know, there's a lot of good teams. Yeah, you know, it's looking like the Caps-Rangers division next year.
It's brutal. Just loaded with a lot of good teams. Someone's got to have to sit out. It's a shame, but it's loaded ever since Tampa kind of became a good team.
Mm-hmm.
The last few years, they've made that division a lot more competitive. And then the Orioles, too. It used to be just the Yankees and the Red Sox every year.
Tampa's a good team, but doesn't, like, no one goes to watch the games?
Yeah.
they can't do anything to fill that stadium.
Even, like, big regular season games, they couldn't get.
They just can't do it.
It's just, I guess, just not a...
I don't know. How do you support a good team? How do you keep a good team in a market like that? That's pretty impressive.
It is. It really is. I mean, I think part of it was all those years they finished in last place. They got a lot of good draft picks. And I think what's going to happen with them is these guys... You know, their young, like their rookie kind of type contracts run out once they, you know, get that next deal. That's it's gonna be tough to hold on to some of these guys.
Yeah, but that's a solid division, man.
Yeah, it's definitely the best in the sport. And then off the field, unfortunately, we've got to deal with more steroids crap. It's unbelievable. I know they're trying their best to clean up the game, and this thing with this BioJohnson's clinic has just been. I guess being a Yankee fan with A-Rod being involved in all of it, yeah. I've really kept an eye on it.
Yeah.
And I never thought it was what happened, but this thing has almost made me an A-Rod defender.
Really?
And I've never been a big fan of the guy. I felt he's come up small a lot since he joined the Yankees, but I just think it's nuts that he has a chance to be banned for life and he's never failed a drug test.
Yeah. I mean, that is unfair. But, I mean, I don't even know really the details of the... How was he linked to it? Was he on, some master list or something?
I think so. They said they have evidence. I think they haven't released the evidence they have on him yet, but I think there's a lot of emails and texts with the guy who ran it. I think his name is Tony Bosch.
So do you think he's guilty?
If they have the stuff, he must have had some kind of contact with him.
Yeah, I've heard pretty much everyone that's denied it has ended up being guilty. You know, so... Yeah, but banned for life. I don't know. But are they just using him as a scapegoat, I guess?
I feel like I think the other guys who they're going to have on this list are going to be suspended for the drug use. But apparently they're looking more at A-Rod because they feel like they have evidence, or they said he's tried to coerce witnesses and trying to pay people off, interfere in the investigation. So their baseball's thinking is that they can just – if they can't get him on the drugs, they're going to get him on the commissioner has this clause where he can exact his power – and say, you know, integrity of the game kind of thing.
If that happens, there'll be a movie. There'll be a movie coming out about that guy's life.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you go from the top of the world to the bottom.
That quick, yeah. Isn't that crazy?
That's that would be devastating.
So I'm hoping he fights, although I think what I'm hearing is that, most of the guys they have on this list, I think tomorrow they're going to announce the suspensions, and most of these guys are just going to accept the deal. But A-Rod, apparently, at first I heard that they're not going to accept the suspension, so... They're going to offer him, suspension for the rest of this year, all of next year, or you're looking at a lifetime ban. Those are going to be his choices. So,
yeah, I heard he was calling a bunch of New York radio stations and speaking out, which probably didn't make the Yankees too happy.
Not at all, yeah, because they kind of have their protocol about, and he's like, I'm ready to play.
Yeah.
I'm ready to play. I'm good to go. And I'm also, A, they probably didn't like that he's airing their laundry, and B, they're probably thinking that if he can't play, then they can collect insurance on him.
Yeah.
But if he's saying physically, I'm okay to play, insurance companies aren't going to...
Yep.
They're not going to be as willing to pay out any kind of money. So it's just
a mess. That's turned into a big disaster.
It really has. Yeah, it's just weird to see all this... You know, it's almost like the old Bronx Zoo days with the Yankees when, Steinbrenner and Reggie Jackson and Billy Martin's manager. That's what it seems like. It's crazy. So, yeah, I've been keeping an eye on Twitter, but I thought today they announced it, but I think tomorrow's the day they're going to announce these suspensions, and most of the guys on the list, I think, are just going to accept it. 50-game suspension and start next year fresh, yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, so it's a shame that, you know, this sport's been dealing with this, I feel like, for the last 15 years, it seems like.
Yeah, it's been a long time, and, you know, I don't think it'll ever stop either, so.
Yeah, that's the thing, yeah.
What do you do?
I mean, maybe
after these big suspensions, it'll go away for a little while, but inevitably will come back.
Yes. Yeah, it's funny, you're right. They're doing their best they can. I mean, you'd think that 50 games without pay would deter guys from doing it, but...
Absolutely.
Some people feel like, oh, well, I won't get caught. I think that's their thinking. The risk is worth the reward, because if they take it, put up good numbers, and they get that huge contract, and they're all set.
Yeah. Well, who was just got suspended? Was it
Ryan Braun?
Yeah.
Because
they were saying his lawyer fees were going to be so much he didn't really mind staying out and getting suspended.
Exactly. That's why
he wanted to fight it.
That's why he just accepted the deal, because he had been caught last year.
Yeah.
With but the test got tainted because the guy put the sample in the fridge or something. Mm-hmm. So everyone knew he failed the drug test, but he got off on a technicality.
Yeah.
And he was so flippant about it that I think the league really wanted to nail him. And so they were glad to. Find this evidence that he was involved in this clinic too.
Yep.
So yeah, it's it's funny too. I mean, I don't know if it's because it's sacred records or what, but cause, I mean, there's PEDs in other sports. I mean, football, these guys get suspended, you know.
Yeah.
But then it kind of, you don't hear much about it. I don't know if it's because baseball, the records are so sacred or what.
Yeah,
but
it might be the records. I think so. I mean, I think I think it's almost like a football. These guys are so big, large, and fast. It's just a given that you know these guys are juicing.
Yeah.
They're doing something, to become that big.
Yeah.
That fast and that strong.
Probably,
it's just not normal.
It isn't, yeah. It really isn't. It really is not. That's actually, I guess, a good segue into football. I saw this week that RG3 is probably going to wear a knee brace for the whole season. How do you feel like that's just, is that just odd to you, or do you think it's just whatever it takes to keep him on the field, or what?
Whatever it takes to keep him on the field, but like I said, I mean, I don't know. If you have to wear a knee brace the whole season, should you really be playing?
They know
better than us, obviously, so. And you know, I've heard Shanahan talk, and he's actually said, you know, it was a learning process last year, and he doesn't often do this, but he kind of admitted a little bit of wrong of, you know, listening to RG3 a little too much, you know? So it was interesting to hear him say that, because he's usually, you know, always thinks he's right, and he's pretty strict about things. So maybe, it sucked what happened, but hopefully they use it as a learning process, and, you know, you know RG3 is always going to push to play.
Exactly. Most players are like that, yeah.
Hopefully Shanahan learned his lesson and is smarter about it this year. But, I mean, if the doctors say you can play with a knee brace, you should be fine, then got to let him go. I need him out on the field.
Exactly.
Because if we don't have him, it's going to be a disaster. But, it's still going to be scary every time he gets hit.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
Are you all right with him not... There's a chance he's not going to play in the preseason at all. You fine with that?
I'm totally fine with that. He doesn't seem to be as fine with it. He says it helps get those jitters out and the nerves. But, I think the more rest, the better at this time. I mean, it's just ridiculous that he's even out on the field running around right now.
I know.
It's unheard of. So, I mean, I guess technology and medicine are getting a lot better.
A lot better, yeah.
So... I mean, he just made a lot of leaps in the last couple of years. But, well, I mean, you know, even he sits out another year, the bottom line is if he gets hit on his knee hard, whether it was like at 80% or 100%, the knee's still going to get torn apart.
You know?
The damage has been done. So if he takes a hard hit on his knee, he's screwed no matter what.
Sure, yeah, that's a good point.
You know, it doesn't matter if it's at 85% or 100%. The hits in football are so vicious, you know. Now, if he got hurt, you know, trying to do a hard cut and just, you know, just doing a maneuver or a juke himself.
It gave out, yeah.
Yeah, and it gave out, then that would make me upset that he was on the field.
Yeah.
But you can't prevent any vicious helmet to hit or anything like that. That's just part of the game. But, yeah, if he hurts himself just trying to be athletic, then... That would make me angry that, you know, they didn't give him more time to rest. But they're saying he's all right, man. Yeah. And he's running around. You see him running around.
You do, yeah.
So, yeah, I think he's, you know, going to have to play a different game with that knee brace, because he's not going to be able to. And I think that's probably good, because he's going to want to be able to be the old RG3.
Exactly. It's tough.
And that knee brace will maybe be able just a little back mental reminder that, hey.
Yep.
Let's run out of bounds this time and not get slammed by Haloti Ngata instead. That was such a vicious hit.
It was. And I think just that year, first year in the league, I think he probably, it takes a time to realize that these guys are bigger, stronger, faster than they are in college. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm just glad he's back. I'm glad he's running around. And, you know, the games are always going to be more exciting when he's on the field.
I'm shocked to see that he's going to be possibly under center on that first Monday night game in week one. I didn't think there was a chance that he'd be
ready. That's mind-blowing. That's unbelievable. So, I mean, yeah, that would put him as, like, the shortest possible recovery time that they stated in the beginning.
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, we saw Adrian Peterson. It took him about 3 or 4 games to get back into the swing of things, but once he came back, he was unbelievable.
Yeah,
I mean, could you imagine if he was 100% in the beginning of the season?
He would have easily broken the record.
No problem.
Yeah,
yeah. So
he's a solid player.
But I don't know. Seems like he's a faster recovery than Peterson. Maybe RG3 will be 100% first game. We'll
see. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I hope for the best.
Ready to go. And then on the college run, so you're excited for college football to get ready to start.
So excited.
Yeah. Haven't had a game yet, but there's been some news with Heisman winner Manziel. I feel like he's just – it's interesting. I just feel like how – I know these guys are public figures, especially a Heisman winner like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, at first I hear about he's at the Manning camp, and there was talk of he was, you know, dehydrated or was he hungover, not partying. And then I hear he's getting kicked out of a frat party. And I think you were talking about it before we started here, is that a lot of these players are probably going through similar things, but it just seems like the spotlight is on certain guys.
Yeah. I mean, that's the cost. That's the price you pay when you want to be a All-American quarterback football player at a huge university. I mean, and it stinks because, you know, think about us going through college.
Sure. Yeah.
And the things that we did.
Yeah.
You know, we'd be on the tabloids every single day in the front of the newspaper.
Absolutely. Yep.
So, yeah, they're going to scrutinize anything that guy does. But he seems like a good guy. And I mean, you gotta let the man learn how to grow up too.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know,
do you think that, when he's ready to go to the NFL draft, do you think this will be in the back of GM's minds and stuff like that, or do you think it's just college kid being a college kid? Or
I mean, for petty stuff like this, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I think how in the grand scheme of things with what other players have done,
good point.
I think he's okay.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So there's, I mean, the honey badgers out there.
Yeah, yeah, you know, that's true.
That guy just willingly quit football because he wanted to smoke weed. Yeah. So, and he's got a jersey on.
That's a really good point. Yeah. So, guys have done worse and will do worse, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah, I just had to laugh when I heard about that. Although I had to wonder, like, you know, you have to be partying pretty hard to get kicked out of a frat party, I think.
Yeah.
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 It's tough to get kicked out.
But, you know, frat guys can be a-holes sometimes too.
Yeah.
You do one wrong thing.
Yeah.
And they'll just throw you out on principle.
That's true, too.
I mean, it could be one of those parts, but most likely, yeah. But everyone in that house is obnoxious already.
Yeah.
You got to be really obnoxious.
So, I just thought about that, and it's just interesting to see how, you know, once you're in that spotlight, it's almost like you even as much as you want to, you can't be a regular college kid anymore.
Yep. Yeah, and that's got to be a crazy process to begin with, just coming to that realization that, wow, your name is that big and you're not that well known. I mean, that's got to be a lot to handle. I don't know how I would have handled it.
Yeah, I know. And I mean, it's tough enough in college. Now they're in the Twitter age.
Yeah,
where everyone's got a camera, a cell phone out
all the time.
Yep, ready to put it on YouTube or Twitter or whatever. So it can be a tough existence.
Yeah.
And also, I was the thing was last week. This debate came up the Outback Bowl when Clowney had that huge hit off the line.
Yep,
and I think an official said that they would have that could have led to an ejection just because they called it, I guess, targeting.
Yeah.
And I've watched that hit several times. I can't imagine what else he could have done. It's not like he just ran and just knocked the guy and his helmet popped off. It wasn't like he went after his head.
Yeah, you got to let athletes like that be able to play. You know, at what point do you draw the line? And I think that's a little too much, you know.
Yeah.
I understand the helmet to helmet stuff.
Yes, but definitely.
You know, targeting, I don't. What is that?
I know. Yeah. You know? I heard this. I'm like,
that's
no.
That's what they've been taught their whole lives, is to target somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. And most of the football experts I saw on TV all said, like, growing up, that's called a good form tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So unless you start teaching the kids to tackle differently, I mean, and that's all their whole lives. That's all they've known.
Yes.
Is to hit as hard and as fast as they can.
Yeah.
You know,
make it clean, but hard. Yeah.
I always love listening to LeVar Arrington on a show talk about, like, just like his mentality when he's on the field. You know?
Just
like, he feels like he's a warrior. He's ready to go. He's there for one purpose, and that's to take the other man down.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the train of thought you have to have. Because if you don't think that way, you're just going to be dead meat out there.
You're knocked around yourself. Yeah.
You know? So you got to go all in and be a little half crazy out there, you know? Especially, I mean, can't even imagine being on a kickoff team.
I know.
Kickoff squad on any of these teams.
Yeah, I mean, either.
You know, just these huge men barreling down on you, and you got to pick them up and somehow push them out of the way. I don't want that job.
No, not at all. Yeah, I definitely wouldn't want to be on special teams. And I was, I don't know if we'd be talking about this anymore. I was surprised to see, I saw that your alma mater, those officials in the Sandusky skin, are going to stand trial. Were you, Are you surprised to hear about that, or did you think that?
No, I thought it would happen. Eventually go. I've been so sick of it.
Yeah.
I purposely have just not read about it.
I don't blame
you. But I'll probably start reading about it again. And I haven't really paid attention to my blog much that I read lately. But there is a guy, and I forget the name of the guy, but he's writing a book on a couple Big Ten schools.
Oh, okay.
Just kind of behind the scenes, and Penn State was one of them. And it was always kind of known that Jay Paterno, Joe's son, he was the quarterback's coach, and he was just, you know.
Yeah.
He wasn't great. And supposedly that he has a couple scenes of, like, interactions where the defense – because the defense was very good, but our offense was just atrocious.
Yeah.
And Bolden was one of our quarterbacks, and he loved him to death. And I think it was the Illinois game, and he was just horrible. He had thrown multiple receptions. He still wanted to put him out there. And I guess there was, like, some confrontation in the locker room with the defense screaming at Jay, ready to, like, jump over the table and just take him down.
Goodness.
So I'll get the name of the book and the author for next podcast, but it should be an interesting read.
Okay. Wow, that's great. That's wild. So, yeah, I'll definitely keep an eye on that, too. But, yeah, I saw a headline, like, oh, here we go again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think that at least this year, this will be, I feel like, separated from the football.
I mean, not thinking about it has really helped out. I mean, it was tough there when it first happened.
Oh, goodness,
and then
yes.
Eventually that stupid movie's going to come out.
Oh, yeah.
And that'll have to remind me. Every now and then I'll just get reminded of it again.
Yeah.
But I think this year might be the first year I go back up and don't feel as horrible as I had in the last couple years. So it'll be good. I'm excited. We're going to Minnesota to see the Penn State game. Never been out to their field and stadium, so that should be a good time.
Nice.
Are the Vikings using the same field as the Gophers? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. Yeah.
Are the Vikings building a new stadium?
I think they want to, because I remember a couple years ago, like that roof.
Yeah. I thought they were building a new stadium, but maybe not.
Yeah.
Because the Gopher Stadium is new and it's right downtown, so. It should be cool.
That'd be good, yeah. It's a nice town there.
Yeah.
Very cool stuff. Next, we'll close things out at the Pop Culture Corner. How did you like Dexter this week? I saw a little bit of that. It looked like it was some suspenseful stuff.
Yeah, I think at the beginning of the season, I was like, God, this is just a horrible storyline. I don't like this lady.
Yeah.
You know, but the episode before when Deb drove him into the water, that was, like, crazy, and made me want to watch the next episode.
Sure. Yep.
So I think the rest of the season will be good. I think it's really interesting, and probably the best way to do it, to finally see, you know, inside Dexter's mind.
Sure.
And why he is the way he is. And I think the way they've done it is a cool way to do it. Even though, you know, like, the brain surgeon killer guy.
Yes,
that whole killer subplot's not too great this season.
Yeah.
But I think it's more interesting. The character development is more interesting to me than anything else.
Sure, I agree with that.
So it's cool to see how he's just going to react through this whole thing.
That'd be good. Yeah, I caught the tail. I think the tail when my girlfriend was watching. It looked like it seemed like it was more enjoyable to watch when Deb's not,
freaking
out, cursing, and was actually working with Dexter. It seemed like it was just a much more enjoyable viewing experience.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's she's finally got over that drunken, miserable state that she was in.
Yeah.
Because they finally sat down and hashed everything out.
Yeah.
So I think that it's going to make up for a good, I don't know, it's probably like halfway through now.
Probably, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, yep. So the last half of the season should be good.
Good, good. And then we got the show that follows it, Ray Donovan. You said I didn't see this past week, so we saw the...
Yeah, I didn't see this past week, but the weekend before that, I felt like I watched it and nothing happened.
Yeah,
it felt like it was a horrible episode.
Yeah, I'm trying. It was. I was one when they. I'm trying to think when Mickey and Bunchy and his other son, they went to see. Was that the episode you saw when they went to his other son's mom's house?
Skip school, or is that the second episode?
I think that was the second one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, they go to his mom's house. Yeah. I felt like not much happened that episode. Yeah. And have you caught up from the last episode?
Yeah, I watched Sundays too. Yeah.
How was that?
That was pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, I just think, I guess the whole dad interaction will come to a head. I just want that to come to a head sooner than later. And then we can move on to something else.
Sure. Yeah. That's what kind of drew me in from the start was that. Yeah. I don't even think they had much. I don't think him and Ray had any screen time together in that episode. I don't think they did. Yeah, they were kind of doing their own. Yeah,
that's what I think just annoyed me about it. I felt like just not much was going on.
Yeah, I think the best scenes are when those two are.
Yeah, definitely
together.
Absolutely.
So it's definitely an interesting show. And then you said you haven't got a chance to check out the Newsroom this season yet, right?
Have not. I've heard not good things about it though.
Yeah, it's been all right.
Yeah. I've heard, not good things, it's just, you know, so-so.
Exactly, yeah.
No one's really saying, oh, this is just a fantastic show.
Yeah, I think people just kind of watch it, kind of like it, or just watch it because they hate watch it, people say. Yeah. So, I like listening to, you know, Sorkin's dialogue and stuff like that, and I figure, you know, I like the first season, so I'm just going to keep watching it until it's not on anymore.
Yeah. And do you think they'll get another season?
I think so. So they had the Television Critics Association, like they had their week-long panel, and I think for HBO Day, I think they mentioned that it looks like there'll probably be a third season, I think. So.
Gotcha.
So that'll be good. Yeah,
I'll try to watch that over the weekend. I thought the first season was good.
Yeah.
Like I said, it wasn't great, but it was entertaining.
Sure, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, there's a few things this season that kind of I can live without.
Yeah.
But the things I do like, kind of, it balances it out a little bit.
Cool.
Yeah. And then I just didn't know if you had anything brewing in the beer blast this week.
The old beer blast. Did I talk about my homebrew last time? I don't think we did.
No, I think you recapped your main trip last time.
Yeah. And then my brother-in-law and I brewed a beer. And we basically took these things called Bucky Nuggets, which are these, like, corn nuggets. They're Bucky's is this huge, Sheetz is like a big gas station kind of convenience store up here. It's the equivalent of a Sheetz, but it's like the size of a Walmart. I mean, thing is just gigantic.
Jeez.
And they do hunting supplies and grilling supplies and tailgating stuff. But we found these, like, sugar-coated caramel corn nuggets called Bucky Nuggets. We bought a couple bags of those.
Nice.
Brewed up a Pilsner, threw the bags in, and it turned it into this, like, beer milkshake-looking thing. So I don't know how it's going to taste. We've got, like, a layer of this crazy black oil on the top of it, too.
Oh.
I don't know if that came from the crazy preservatives in these nuggets.
Oh, man.
But hopefully it all settles out, and it'll be delicious. So we'll see what happens.
Nice.
So we brewed that. That was fun. And then I was just down in the Fredericksburg area, actually traveling around, and went to Ale House in Williamsburg Ale Works. I think I might have talked about them before. They're obviously from Williamsburg, and they brew some pretty good beer in a small operation. They got a stout called Cafe Royale that's really good. It's okay. A coffee stout. But they had, they do a bourbon barrel or a barrel series, and they do a bourbon barrel porter that I've had in the bottle before that was really good. But they had it on tap down in the Ale House in Fredericksburg. So I had that, and it just reminded me how delicious their beer can be. So if you see, if you're from, you know, the D.C., Virginia area, if you ever see Williamsburg Ale Works, definitely pick a bottle of them up and give them a shot. They do brew some pretty good beer.
Sweet. That's good stuff, man. Yeah, let me know. I want to hear the nugget. I want to hear how that tastes.
Yeah, the nugget beer, it'll be ready in a couple weeks. We'll nice. See what happens.
All right. Well, I think that's... It's a wrap. That was a good session. You know,
man.
It's crazy to think, you know, this is kind of the dog days of summer, but still plenty of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, and we're past episode 25.
Yes, we're past the quarter century mark.
We got to do something for 50.
Yeah, we do. We'll definitely do that up. Yeah, we'll do a big one for 50, big one for 100.
That would be awesome. That'll
be good. So yeah, so thank you for listening. As always, you can follow us on Twitter @theGDPodcast or shoot us an email @theGDPodcast@gmail.com. For Mike Grant, I'm Joe Dighton. Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you next time.